In the month of October, as I said earlier, we're focusing in on evangelism, on outreach. And last week we looked at how every person who has been saved by Jesus Christ has been made an ambassador for Christ and given the message and the ministry of reconciliation. God making his appeal to lost people through his children. We are all evangelists. If you're a Christian, you're an evangelist. And this morning I want to go through some practical truths from God's word to equip us as we love our lost friends and family. Remember last week we got these in the bulletin, little prayer postcards. There's space for you to write three of your loved ones that are unbelievers and that you commit yourself to praying for them. I hope that you have written some names on there and put it in your Bible, and daily as you read your God's word, that you're praying for those folks, because it is our desire, and I hope it is your desire, that they would come to repentance and put their faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we would be worshiping God with them now here on earth and for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together and look at this morning's scripture. Father, we need your help. We are in desperate need of you to transform us, to change our thinking, to change our desires, to change us so that we line up with what is good and right and holy and worthy, that we would line up with reality, and reality begins and ends with you. So please, Father, have your way with us this morning. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Remove distractions. Give us humility. Humility to hear you from your word. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. A number of weeks ago, we looked at what spiritual warfare actually is, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you missed that, you can go to our website and find it under the sermon tab. Spiritual warfare is a battle for truth. People are held captive by strongholds, these systems of thinking and believing and living, these lofty opinions and ideas that are unbiblical, that are against God. So according to 2 Corinthians 10, spiritual warfare is the destroying of those arguments and lofty opinions that are raised against the knowledge of God. It's taking every thought captive to obey Christ. So the person on your prayer postcard, they are locked into the devil's stronghold, the devil's way of thinking. That's the source of their beliefs. That's who they live for. They'll never, ever say that. They'll say that their believing and their thinking and their living is according to their own free will. But as we see from Scripture, our three enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, they work together. The devil creates a way of believing and thinking and living that is anti-God, and he gets the world to promote that way, which our sinful nature, our flesh, is attracted to and embraces. Unbelievers are held captive to multiple strongholds. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 18 talk about Jesus setting us free from slavery to sin, which means before salvation, we were slaves to sin. In John 8, verse 34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." So our loved ones are slaves to sin. Their whole being locked into the devil's strongholds. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find more info of what condition our loved ones are in, plus how they can get out of that condition. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. This is what it says. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unbelievers are veiled from seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ as truth, as reality. It's hidden from them. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, For the word of the cross is folly, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 to 15 also speaks of unbelievers. It says, their minds are hardened. The veil lies over their hearts. So hard, blinded minds and covered hearts, unable to see God's truth. The devil has got unbelievers locked in multiple strongholds. They are enslaved to him, hardened toward God. That's the condition that our unbelieving loved ones are in. Those on your prayer postcard. That's the condition that they're in. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? These are real people. On my list, I have 4 people. Those are real people who I love. This is the condition that they are in. And if they remain in that position with God, they will receive eternal punishment. But there is one way to have that hardness and those veils removed so that our loved one can behold the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 17. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from slavery to sin is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Freedom from strongholds are found in God's word, the Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and taking every thought captive to obey Christ. God's word pointing and leading to Jesus. God's truth destroying stronghold lies. And the spiritual warfare our loved ones are experiencing. The devil and those belonging to him don't want to release them or lose them from their grip. So they are going to mess around with the good news of Jesus. And as 2 Corinthians 11 tells us, disguising themselves as an angel of light, as servants of righteousness, the devil and his, whoever works for him, coming to our loved ones and deceiving them. Proclaiming a different Jesus and a different gospel, changing what we've been given in God's word. The only word and the only message from God. They come and twist it and turn it and do all kinds of things to it. The devil and those belonging to him will do what they can to keep our loved ones locked in those strongholds, to keep the gospel away, to keep God's truth away. They'll work to convince that it's all garbage and work to keep the Christian quiet and giving up or feeling inadequate or whatever works just to shut us up. But God's children are ambassadors for Christ with the message and ministry of reconciliation, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 5. So what do we do as ambassadors for Christ for our loved ones who are stuck in strongholds, who are slaves to sin, who are blind to the gospel, who are being bombarded with the world's message and with false messages disguised as the gospel? How do we engage in spiritual warfare for our unbelieving loved ones? For those who are serious, for those whose hearts are broken, knowing that our loved one is headed for hell, I want you to know that there is a ton of hope. A ton of hope. Don't despair. Because there is hope in Jesus Christ. And you can participate in spiritual warfare for the salvation of those loved ones in two ways. The first one, grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's word. And the second one, pray. Were you expecting anything else? Number one, grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, so you're going to be looking at your Bible. You should bring your Bibles to church every single Sunday so you can underline things and write notes to go look over there because it's saying the same thing over there as over here, that kind of thing. Can't do that on your phone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. So what's that ministry that Paul is talking about? Well, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. There it's explained. They are ministers of a new covenant of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. This is about being ambassadors, evangelists with God's message of salvation in Jesus Christ. The apostles, they did not give up in this ministry. They did not lose heart in spreading the gospel, spreading God's truth. And they were inflexible with their commitment to explaining God's word clearly. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The gospel is veiled to the lost because of the devil, not because of an unclear explanation of the gospel, because the apostles refused to mess around with God's word, but to deliver it as it was given to them. Verses 5 through 6. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The apostles, they proclaimed Christ. Christ is promoted, not themselves, not their own story, not their testimony, but Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. That is what is promoted. They promote the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that same message, that those same truths from God are preserved for us in the Bible. In the Bible. And as the apostles did, we must carry on, continue to proclaim and explain God's truth, the gospel to our lost loved ones. There is no clever explanation or cool story that will set people free. Your testimony and how cool you are doesn't matter. It saves nobody. The Holy Spirit has to remove the blindness and the hardness on their minds and on their hearts. Our role in spiritual warfare is to love them enough to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verse 14 says this clearly. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? God uses us. He uses the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus to save people. He makes his appeal through you and through me. God's word is the divine power that destroys strongholds. God's truth destroys demonic lies our loved ones are locked into. And as 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared with God's truth from the Bible to meet strongholds. Always be prepared to explain the gospel. Church, we can do this. We can do this. You know why? Because you have been set free from slavery to sin by Jesus Christ. And guess who has been deposited in you? The Holy Spirit. We can do this. We can grow in our understanding of God's word. That's our lifelong goal of growing. And we can learn to explain the gospel so that when an opportunity comes, and they always, always do, we will be ready. We can do this. But will we? In a sermon a year ago, I came up with four words that give the big picture of salvation, with the hope that each of those words triggers in our memory the explanation of the gospel. It's not fancy, and I know there's way better systems out there than this one. But my four words are purpose, problem, plan, personal. Does anybody remember that? Yes. Oh, good. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. I'm going to run through them. Purpose. God created people for his glory, to glorify him, to worship him, to enjoy him. That's your purpose. Forget the books that are written. I'm telling you your reason for existing: to worship the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, to be in a loving father-child blessed relationship with the sovereign God. That's your purpose. But there's a problem: sin. Adam and Eve represented all people, and they fell for the serpent's temptation to disobey God and decided for themselves what is good and what is evil. They chose to reject God and be their own God, which brought sin into the world. And one of the results was all who came from them were born sinners, making all people sinners, unable to live as they were designed to live. All are born spiritually dead and headed for eternal punishment. Right? Purpose, problem. But God has a plan. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh and lived the sinless life that God requires from all people, and died on the cross as the perfect sinless sacrifice for sin. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says, Christ, Jesus Christ, came into the world to save sinners. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. But it has to become very personal for Christ's perfect life to be accredited to us, our sin to be accredited and taken care of by the death of Christ, requires a very, very personal response from everyone individually. A person must repent and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, turning away from living, self-living, and surrendering to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, fully relying on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the removal and forgiveness of personal sin against God. When that happens, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are applied to the sinner, and the sinner is justified and transformed into a born-again, new creation, adopted by God, making the person a child of God in a glorious father-child relationship with the sovereign Lord. That's the gospel. You can learn that. Your purpose of existing is to know and worship and enjoy the father-child relationship with the only holy God. But you can't, because of the problem of your sin cutting you off from the holy God. Yet God has one plan. God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live the life we were to live and die the death of punishment we deserve because of our sin. And his death and righteousness are accredited to us when this is personal, when the individual repents of sin and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Purpose, problem, plan personal. Four words, each triggering a truth, altogether forming the gospel. That's the message of reconciliation. And explaining it over and over and applying it to your loved one's life in different ways is the ministry of reconciliation from 2 Corinthians 5. And applying the gospel, speaking God's truth, destroys strongholds. It is spiritual warfare. This is what you and I can do for our loved ones, to get to know God's truth and learn to explain the wonderful salvation that we have received and speaking it in relationship with our lost loved ones. That's number one. Number two is pray. We can pray a number of ways for our unbelieving loved ones, knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one who applies God's truth to lost people. And here are just four ways we can pray. The first one, pray for your unbelieving loved one's heart to be receptive to God. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19, this is a prophecy God gave, and it's about what the Holy Spirit will do through Jesus Christ. I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Now, a heart of flesh in this context has nothing to do with our sinful nature, the flesh. Here it's about a heart that is alive in Christ, submissive in worship of the Lord. A heart of stone is the one that rejects the Lord, is not responsive to him. Church, let's pray for God to give our unbelieving loved ones a heart of flesh receptive to the Lord and to remove their heart of stone. Number two, pray for your unbelieving loved one's heart to be opened. To be opened. Acts 16, verse 14, Luke is explaining what happened in Philippi. Here it is. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. God opened her heart, pulled back the veil over her heart, and then she paid attention to Paul's message. Then she could hear the gospel. Church, pray that God would open the heart of your unbelieving loved one so that they can pay attention to the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's number two. Number three, pray God would end the blindness of your unbelieving loved one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 16, only God removes the blinding veil. So only the Holy Spirit can give freedom from that blindness that the devil causes. So let's be praying that God would give spiritual sight to our unbelieving loved ones. One more, number four, pray God would give your unbelieving loved ones the gift of repentance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. This is the verse that's on your prayer postcards. And here it is. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Ask God to bless your loved one with his gift of repentance, of turning away from sin and turning to the Lord. That's a gift from the Lord. Ask him for that gift so that they can turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. Pray they are led to a knowledge of the truth. Pray they may come to their senses. Pray they escape from the snare of the devil, all through his gift of repentance. We can engage in spiritual warfare for the salvation of our loved ones by praying all these four things for them. The receptive and open hearts, blindness to end, and being blessed with repentance. Those are things only the Lord can do. So go to your Heavenly Father in prayer on behalf of your lost loved ones. Go to Him. We pray about all kinds of things going on in our lives that are dear to us. Take these requests to the Lord on behalf of those that you love, your kids, your friends, your family member, whoever it is. Pray for them. Pray for them. And pray for yourself as well. Can't leave you out. We got to be praying for them. Let's be praying for ourselves as well. I have five short things here. So now this is a list of two. Now it's a list of four more and then a list of five. So we got 9, 10, 11 points this morning. But 9 will be under point number 2, just so you're keeping track of things. So pray for yourself. The first one, pray for your heart to long for your unbelieving loved ones to be saved. Pray for your heart. This is what the Apostle Paul said. This is what he was like. Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. They may be saved. Pray for your heart's desire to be captured with the salvation of your loved ones who are lost. Pray that your heart would skip a beat imagining that your lost loved one is standing beside you in church service, worshiping the Lord, listening to His word being preached, standing up, asking for prayer requests because they trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray that your heart is broken by that beautiful picture of salvation in Christ for your loved one. Forget those other dreams that you have. How does that compare to someone who's going to hell? How does their salvation not become the most beautiful, desirous thing to have in your heart next to the worship of the Lord? Man. I often look at my heart and what I get all ramped up about and worked up about, and this is good stuff, this is good stuff. And then I got four friends that are going to hell and I don't pay any attention because I'm okay as long as I'm going after these things. Our friends and family are going to hell. Pray that our hearts get overcome with the joy of having our salvation and wanting that for those that are lost. Because it seems like every single thing in this world is battling against us wanting salvation for lost people. You should just mind your own business, do your own thing, look after yourself, and look out for number one and just pursue your own comforts and joy. Pray for your heart. Number two. Pray that you would not give up praying for your unbelieving loved ones. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 18 is a parable about a persistent widow coming before a judge asking for justice. And she didn't stop. And finally the judge relented. And Jesus used this story, as verse 1 tells us, to tell his disciples that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Pray that you persevere, that you don't get discouraged, that you don't grow weary and give up praying for your lost loved one. This is a funny request. Pray that you don't give up praying for your lost loved one. We need to go to God on their behalf and pray, Lord, open their eyes, give them a new heart, help them not to be blind anymore, give them the gift of salvation. Pray for them. Don't stop. Don't stop. Number three, pray for your relationship with your unbelieving loved one. We have been given the message of reconciliation, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, as well as the ministry of reconciliation. And we need to have a relationship with our loved one so that we can give them that message. Your loved one needs to know Christians to hear the gospel message. Pray that you would be proactive in building that relationship. Think about hospitality as evangelism. We have this great display made up here that brings the theme of hospitality before us over and over again. What if you in your home would invite your lost loved ones and your lost friends, your neighbors, over to your house for coffee, for a meal, just to build a friendship with them, to open your home to them and sit down and hang out with them? And then watch for an opportunity to speak God's truth into their life, being God's ambassador to them, for him to them. Imagine that. That is a doable idea for a majority of us. We could do that. Pray that your heart, that your mind, that your being, whatever, has ideas of how you can move into relationship with your lost loved ones. Pray for that. Number four, related to this, pray for boldness to act on opportunities to speak the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, we have the message of reconciliation and we are going to have to speak it. If we learn it, purpose, problem, plan, personal, if we learn it, we're going to have to be ready to actually speak it at some point. Pray for the determination to learn how to speak it and then the courage and the discernment to actually do it with your loved one. Do you ever take inventory of your conversations that you have with people that don't know Christ or with people that do know Christ and you realize, wow, we hardly ever talk about Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. I'm centered on him. My salvation rests in him. But I barely ever talk about him. Why is that? Pray for your heart. Pray for your mind that you would take those opportunities as they come up and speak the gospel. Take a chance. Will they make fun of you? Will they bring questions back to you? Do it. They might, but do it anyway. You know, we've got to take those chances. We've got to take those opportunities. So, something that is really cool, I just heard recently from Krista Kramer. You know who Krista Kramer is. She has a neighbor across the street where she actually, Krista took steps to actually build a relationship with her, actually to have a conversation with her. She is purposefully doing that. Krista's doing that. We can do this. God bless you, Krista. Keep going. And the rest of you for doing that. Take that chance. Go and build that relationship with them. And then watch and wait for the opportunity to speak the gospel. And then take that opportunity when it comes up. Number five, the last one. Pray that you would be released from the strongholds that you are trapped in. 2 Corinthians 10. So lost loved ones, their entire being is trapped in strongholds. But we too get trapped in strongholds and don't know it, or we downplay it. But all of us are caught in some forms of strongholds, and we need to be set free. We need to be set free from the stronghold of thinking that you're the one who wins souls. You don't win souls. The stronghold of thinking that evangelism is a church program. Evangelism isn't a church program. We're evangelists, and we're all leaving here pretty shortly. We've got tons of evangelists spread out through this valley. Stronghold of thinking you don't have to speak the gospel. You're going to have to speak the gospel. That whole Francis of Assisi thing give the gospel all the time, and if you have to use words, that's ridiculous. That's like going to starving people and saying, be well fed, and not bringing them any food. Oh, I'm helping the starving. No, you're not. You have to bring food. People that are lost are going to need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, not your cool friendship. That's not going to save them. Need to be set free from the stronghold of thinking it's about your personality and clever ways of talking that affect people's salvation. That is so wrong. You have friends with lost people that I am not friends with, that they probably don't even want to be friends with me because I'm too weird for them, but you're connecting with them because God has you there as his minister. Need to be set free from the stronghold of not wanting to get involved with unbelieving loved ones' spiritual life. Oh, their spirituality, their religion, that's none of my business. That's private. It's not private. It's not private. They're going to hell. That's private? Get involved. We need to be set free from the stronghold of ignoring a lost person, the stronghold of keeping your home as a safety zone, and therefore you won't invite neighbors in for coffee or for supper. I did this one for so many years because being at home, I come home and I'm tired, and I just want to shut down. And I don't want to be interacting with someone. So I was all in favor of, let's not have anybody over. This is my time. But then it turns out every evening is my time. It's always my time, and we don't have anybody over. Got to fight that. Need to be set free of the stronghold of being so distracted with your own desires that you don't even obey God's call to you to evangelize. We get so wrapped up in our own stuff, so wrapped up that evangelism can't even be heard because we're too wrapped up in our own stuff. We need to be set free of the stronghold of thinking, you can't do this. Boy, that has got many of us locked into it. Same with the next one, stronghold of being locked into fear. We're scared that we will look dumb or we won't know what to say. And they'll have questions, and we won't know how to answer the questions, and then we'll just, let's shut that whole thing down, because it's just too complicated. No, don't let yourself be trapped into that stronghold of thinking. We need to be set free of the stronghold of being lazy and not learning to explain the gospel. What else is the reason for someone who says they're a Christian for 1, 2, 3, 10, 50 years and they can't explain the gospel? What's the reason for that? We all have like 14 Bibles in our home. What's the reason? We need to be set free of seeing the church as this optional thing that you get involved in once in a while when you have time, so you don't have to do what is being spoken of in the sermon. Now, I'm not making this personal that you have to, listen to Edgar. But if you see church as optional, that you'll get there when you can, that it doesn't really play a role in your life, then the stuff that I say is also optional. The preaching from God's word is optional. Edgar said that we're evangelists. That's what he said the Bible says. Well, I don't feel like one. And so I'm not one because I don't feel like one. That everything is optional. This is God's word. This is God explaining who we are in Christ. We can't view this as optional. Once we hear of our salvation through Christ and how amazing our salvation, how undeserved our salvation is, how can we not respond but come to our knees before God and go, oh, this is awesome. I want everybody to know. How could we view our brothers and sisters who have the same salvation and go, it's not such a big deal. This is not optional stuff. It's mind-blowing and heart-blowing stuff that we can bring to our lost brothers and sisters. We need to pray for these strongholds that we're stuck in to be exposed and destroyed with the Word of God. Church evangelism is spiritual warfare. It is. And we fight with the Word of God and prayer. Trust in the Lord through faith in Him and prayer. Feed yourself on God's Word. Speak the gospel and pray for your unbelieving loved ones and yourselves. Let's pray together. Father, You give us a lot of Your truth, and You tell us who we are. You tell us how we can move forward, and all of it is dependent on You. Even us stepping forward has to be enabled by You, and You have deposited Your Holy Spirit in us, and we can move forward with faith in You, with trust in You. We can do our part, so to speak, our part of speaking Your word, of praying for lost loved ones, and for praying for ourselves. Lord, I ask that all of us here, Lord, please, bring Your conviction and Your encouragement, that every single one of us would be able to speak Your gospel. We would be able to explain Your gospel to our lost loved ones. Father, I ask that each of us, that we would be praying, we'd be committed to praying for our loved ones that we've put down on that prayer postcard, that we would pray for their hearts to be softened. Father, that You would give them a new heart, that You'd remove the veil, that You'd remove the blindness, that You'd give the gift of repentance. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to be committed to praying for them and to be praying for ourselves, Lord. Please, Lord, let this not be another sermon that we just give the head nod to. But let this be a sermon, let this be Your word that changes us how we interact with loved ones, how changes us how we do our devotions tomorrow morning, that we are changed. Please, Father. And Lord, we together pray for our lost loved ones. We all have some, these beautiful people that we love, and they've rejected You. Lord, as their faces are popped up in our minds right now, we say, please, Father, bless them with the gift of repentance. Remove the veil from their heart and their mind. Bring salvation. Bring salvation. Bring them to the point where they repent and put their faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may they be standing beside us one day here at Calvary Baptist Church, worshiping You together with us here on earth and for eternity. Oh, Lord, let it be so. Change our hearts. Change our hearts. Change our hearts, Father. We ask these things with trust in You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you're able to stand, please do.